Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good early evening. It's Sunday. This is the Sunday Show with Jack Jodell and Gwen Berry. I'm Gwen Berry. I'm down in South Florida, and Jack is with me. He's up in Minneapolis. How you doing, Jack?
I'm doing fine. It's real cold up here today, but it was a lot colder yesterday, and the cold is upon us up here. So enjoy your warm weather, everybody else. That's all I can say.
There's a monster storm coming from the west, sweeping through and coming to the east coast. I hope that's not going to be as bad as some of the last couple of years. The storms have been pretty bad.
You don't know. They come out of nowhere and boom, they're bigger than hell all of a sudden. You know, it's climate change is real. It's out there and we cannot deny it any longer. We've got to get up our britches and do something about it and really try and prevent these horrible storms that are happening just almost at will these days.
You know, I have no idea what the next step is. I only know to stay the course of just doing our very best in the community to bring about some sort of positive change as far as our responsibility to our environment. Our guest tonight, we are supposed to have a guest. Sharif Voigtland is supposed to be with us, but she and I have been going through the awful bug, and I did text her about 20 minutes ago to let her know we were going live, and hopefully she'll be calling in. Whether she does or not, she will show up sooner or later.
Well, that's good. We'll look forward to speaking with her again. It's been a while since she's been on the program, and I understand you mentioned that she has some new thing she's involved with down in that area for victims of the BP oil spill, the sick children and stuff like that. It sounds like a very good endeavor.
They're putting together a plan for a Christmas special to bring Christmas to the children that are suffering from all the different calamities, the environmental injustice that's going on in the southeast of this country. As we were talking about before we went live, I mean, Jesus, Jack, I mean, we've just done been sacrificed to the corporate gods down here, darling. I mean, it's
pathetic, and the trend is that way for the whole country with these oil pipelines they want to build, and they don't give a damn about what they're doing to the country or people's homeland or anything. All they want is their money and their profit, and it's just insane.
It's true. It's very true. I want to give a how do you do a hi to John O'Brien in the chat room. He says hello to us, and John, right.
Hi,
back
John.
At we're having an informal show tonight, John, so if you have a topic you want to discuss, hey, feel free to give us a call. All you have to do, I'll put the call-in number right on in the chat room here so that you know what number to call. If you so choose, love to hear from you.
Regarding Cherie's effort, that's very noble and very good, and I'm not surprised at all that she's heading something like that. She is very concerned with the welfare of the children, especially, and everybody in the southeast, and it'll be very interesting. I read a brief article earlier this week, it was in alternate headlines or something, about how very little has been documented or known about the physical effects of these horrible oil spills we've been having. We've been having a lot of them. And, you know, not much documentation is out there, and I think that's because maybe BP and Mobil Exxon have done such a great job of covering it all up and keeping it quiet. You know, it's not been a big topic covered in the news, that's for sure.
Well, Bloomberg's Business Week this week has put out a hell of an article that was titled BP Declares Total War on Trial Judge in the Gulf Spill Case. BP has escalated an extraordinary courtroom attack on the federal judge in New Orleans presiding over the multi-billion dollar litigation concerning the 2010 Gulf of Mexico oil spill. This is Judge Carl Barbier, It's a battle in a larger legal war, and the oil company's aggressive strategy to come back to haunt them on other fronts. Apparently, the fifth It's the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals in New Orleans blocked certain spill settlement payments for private business claims that BP had alleged were exaggerated or fictitious. The ruling amounted to an embarrassing rebuke of Judge Beyer, who had appointed and vigorously defended the claims administrator. Now BP has returned to the Fifth Circuit, accusing Beyer of, in a filing yesterday, of defying the appellate court by failing to stop disputed payments to businesses whose losses the oil company contends had absolutely nothing to do with April 2010 spill. I got to tell you, Jack, there is precious little in the business community in the Gulf of Mexico along the shoreline that hasn't got something to do with the desiccation and destruction of the Gulf of Mexico, which BP is not entirely responsible for over the years, but they put the big cap on it, and because of their abuse and because of what they did and the lies that they gave out. You know, about how much was
and the Correxol they used that ended up making people sick. It's terrible.
Well, people are walking out of the water around Pensacola and along the shores of Mississippi and Louisiana and down a little bit further. I mean, this stuff is seeping into the Gulf Stream that's coming up out and around. We don't get not much of it, but it is killing the dry tortugas, the seagrasses down at the end of the Keys and through the Keys are dying off.
Not
and,
to mention the shrimp that so many fishermen, their livelihood depends on.
BP is responsible for the collapse of the economy down here. And they're,
they'll never take responsibility for it, though.
Right. What buggers you is the fact that D.C. is allowing them to get away with this. But when we look and see what in 2010, how the White House and everybody else, handled this. I mean, giving BP complete total authority over the Coast Guard and NOAA. I mean, it's pretty obvious that money talks, you know, bullshit walks.
It's disgusting to see that BP in particular has launched a multi-million-dollar cable ad campaign to distort the facts and portray an absolutely fiction tale of what they're doing about supposedly helping the region and how the region's recovering now and the food's good and come on down and enjoy yourself and it's perfectly safe and what a bunch of lies. Every time I see one of those ads, I just about puke. It's disgusting.
Oh, it really does burn your ass, doesn't it? But the other part...
It's smoldering, I'll tell you.
Well, the other part of that, too, is the opening back up to BP and to other petroleum companies, the ability to go ahead and begin drilling again in the Gulf. It's like, you know, there is no environmental justice in this country or on this planet because you look at the eventuality of what this is, what we know is going to happen to our Gulf, what's happened to our seafood products and our seafood life. All of this, it's glaringly real. I mean, you see the misshapen seafood or sea life coming out. We have all of these fish kills and all of the dolphins we lost during the spill. But they're still coming ashore, and people are not hearing this.
Of course not. Yep.
All these fish kills, Jack, these schools, thousands and thousands of fish that wash up on shores in New Jersey and Maine and along the coast in the Carolinas, and people are like, what the hell is going on? Well, it's not about an apocalypse pending. Well, maybe it is, but the thing is that the oxygen of the ocean, which is created in bathos down at the bottom where all of this poison is settled and it's killing everything, the oxygen is leaving the sea. And there's pockets of the ocean that are just gray, and the fish swim into it. There's no oxygen, and they die in massive quantities.
They die, yeah.
And they roll ashore.
Either that, or they ingest some of that stuff, and hopefully none of that ends up in our food chain. Good God, that's a horrible thought.
Well, it already has. And do you know where the seafood coming out of the Gulf now? I mean, you don't eat that stuff if you've got any sense. Do you know?
All right.
Do you know where they are putting that? The government, our government is buying it. And do you know where?
And what are they doing with it?
Oh, they're giving it to our troops to eat. Isn't that beautiful?
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Talk about being in harm's way. And their harm's way is in their bellies.
it's incredible.
God, it's absolutely unbelievable.
The idea of BP going back in and claiming to the courts that they're not responsible for the loss of income to the business people of the Gulf Coast since 2010, since April of 2010, anything that these folks are claiming,
their executive board and their advertising people and their lawyers should all be boiled in oil for such disgusting lies.
They're economic criminals.
Let's face it.
Well, yeah, and basically, too, Jack, I mean, what you've got going on here is a lack of responsibility by the government and collusion with big corporations.
Obviously. Yeah, they're all bought out.
This is the dance, la-di-da. This is the dance, and basically, it's about nothing but what they can get next. Can they engulf and devour next? It's quite disturbing. But the other part about that is that the lack of environmental justice is beginning to wake people up little by little. This is Thanksgiving week. I think we have to look to the things that we can be thankful for. You know what I'm thankful for? I there was a show I was too sick to do after this one last week, and I want to send a thank you out to Pinko the Bear and Pete Nolan for taking our hour and doing such a fun job with it. But I was going to be on Rick Spezak's Progressive News Network, in which he invited a few people that commentate and such and do shows down here in South Florida for progressive and radical radio or lefty radio. He asked them to bring to the topic, and I thought this was a great one. You'll appreciate this one because you do such great collective pieces on the folks that have plowed the road, as they say. He asked us to all bring to the table who we have used as the shoulders to build on, who were our idols or our mentors, if you will, in doing what we do, bringing free speech and the truth out publicly like we do. You would do
in the nice show. Topic, yeah.
Yeah, and you know, I thought about it for a week. I was really terribly disappointed that I was so whooped down with that bug, because from my point of view, I was going to begin to talk about himself, people like Pinko the Bear, yourself, Roundtree 7, Dennis Traynor. Those are the people, you know, it's all well and good to remember folks like Edward R. Murrow. There's somebody to emulate there.
Right. I did a three-part thing on him a while back.
There you go. See, you have all this in your back pocket. But I thought about, like, David and Oso and beginning, beginning of Roundtree 7. I thought about the OcuDoc the documentary that Dennis Traynor did. And he's, by the way, he does his, with Popular Resistance, he does a weekly half-hour show with Acronym Television that's wonderfully produced and basically puts out the truth as we should be hearing it. And I would say I would also have put on there, I mean, and Lee Camp and all of these different guys, indie.
Oh, yes. It's wonderful. And a lot of them have blogs. A lot of them have some type of broadcast experience. And they're all wonderful, and they're all devoted to the notion that we need more freedom, we need more justice, economic and social and otherwise in this country. And to those names, I would add Amy Goodman. She's been a long-time advocate of good, truthful talk and displays on TV and in radio and on her website, as well as David Pakman, a young guy that I've been watching lately on Free Speech TV. He's marvelous. He's right on top of things. And he's very fair-minded and very very informative. And Tom Hartman is another great person that does that sort of thing. We've got a lot currently active that we can be very thankful for.
Well, and these were the, you know, if you're going to ask about whose shoulders do you stand on, I would say to me those are the shoulders that I stand on. And, you know, I just come on and try to bring people on with me who have something to offer the conversation, relevant information, and to shift the conversation from the lies and the abstinence of truth, we should, I guess, say, that the mainstream media is giving you, and bring up these, like, the moments we just spent speaking about the Gulf oil spill and the ongoing problems down here in the Southeast. And, you know, people are walking out of the water.
Yeah, Fukushima. I mean, Gwen, you and Roundtree 7 crew and all of these others have been very, very informative for anybody that takes the time to listen and to look and to dabble in it a little bit. That's very needed information, because the mainstream media has just turned into a corporate bore. It's just all it is the sensationalistic remnant of the week that they want to present over and over and over again ad nauseum, and there's absolutely nothing investigative about it. There's integrity is all gone. It's just disgusting.
Well, I will give you my last entry would be I miss him terribly. I go
Keith Olbermann.
Yeah, I go to ESPN late at night watch him just 'cause I want to see him. I don't give a damn that he's talking about sports, you know. And he still will, when this came up about the football helmets and everything, he got very, very, you know, political about it. It was great to watch him. But
he's definitely a man of the people. There's no doubt about that. And, you know, we miss him. We've missed him so long now on network or on, you know, even network TV. I mean, he was one bright shining light for a long time, and then all of a sudden he was extinguished. So it's too bad, but we know he's plugging along in other ways, and we wish him the very best, and we hope he comes back in some manner, shape, or form, other than just sports.
Can you imagine what it would be like to wake up to come home from work and sit down and basically listen to the news begin with someone saying, today, three more cases were reported of flesh-eating disease along the shores of Pensacola Beach. And this happens, but it's not reported.
Yeah.
You know,
it's never reported. That's the problem.
Local news will report it once, and then they get squashed. It's constant.
Then they get squashed. That's right.
Yeah. I mean, even the local Fox networks will report the news as it comes across the desk, and yet when it's, you know, it gets squashed right away.
Yeah, well, that keeps Rupert Murdoch and Roger Ailes up at night. I know they're sweating every time they see one of those reports, and they work very hard to keep that stuff under wrap and under, not publicized.
Well, that's quite true. I'd love to bring to people's attention while we're talking about whose shoulders we stand on and who's representing these days. If you go on over to Roundtree 7, there's always great posts by the writers posting over there. And I'd love to bring up, if you enjoy getting the capsules of messages of the here and now, what's going on, I like those kind of videos. You know what I mean? There's videos out there that tell you exactly what's going on. It's just a song or music. Of course, Dennis Traynor does the news, and Lee Camp does a humorous mocking thing of it. But there are people out there that are creating some real art. And today I found from Roundtree 7 by Krell. He created one that's it's a video prayer. It's all about water, and it's done to a specific tune, and I'm looking it up right now, but it's a beautiful piece. I'm going to put the link in.
Roundtree 7 has really matured as a blog all the way along. It started out as just a blog with, you know, 6, 7, 8 lefties on it now and then contributing, and it's grown into videos. It's grown into satire in some cases. It's grown into very intelligent writing, very intelligent research, and very knowledgeable presentations. I'm thinking of Krell in that regard. David Williams does always such a great job on the informative stuff he has. You have Great Fiction by Oso when he contributes that. It's always got a very human feel to it. I mean, it's quite a diverse blog. And it's really entertaining, and I encourage everybody to go there. If you've never done it, make sure you do. Roundtree, it's one word, Roundtree, and then the numeral 7.com. It's a great site.
And this post that I'm trying to bring a light to is actually the post is called "What the Water Gave Us," and Krell, being an engineer who works with water and water reclamation and filtering and all of that, he knows what he's talking about, but he brings beautiful imagery and films to video. And then The Stolen Child is the name of the tune that he set it to. I believe, what do you call it? No, that's Yeats. That's who he quoted. I'm not David. I know you're in the what is the name of the tune? But it's just beautiful. And what I thought about as I was watching it, and I saw all of these beautiful, beautiful film vistas of nature and water. And then there's, of course, the opposition, the polarized content too. That's the destruction of the planet and the Earth Mother. And all I could think was, my goodness, this is like a prayer. And then I thought, wow, it's like a video prayer. And it really, Florence and the Machine, yeah, "What the Water Gave Me" is the name of the tune that it's set to. And it's a beautiful, I've put the link into our chat. It's a beautiful experience. It really is.
But what was the tune and the artist again?
Florence and the Machine.
Okay.
I really enjoy Florence and the Machine. Okay, so we have a caller, 708 area code. Hello.
Oh, hey, Gwen, it's John O'Brien.
Oh, hi.
Hi, John.
Hey, Jack, how you doing?
Good, man. Good to hear from you. How's things going today?
Oh, good, good. How about you guys?
Happy Thanksgiving coming up.
Oh, yes, and a happy Thanksgiving to you guys, too.
Yeah.
I'll actually be going down to Kentucky for Thanksgiving this year. That ought to be good times.
Oh, good. I hope you have a good one. So what's cooking today?
Oh, not much. In Chicago, we just started getting our first political ads for the governorship next year.
Okay.
And we got a local businessman / Republican. I wanted to get your guys' take on when politicians claim that we need to start running the country, the state, whatever, as a business.
Oh.
And that's working.
You know, we're inundated with that stuff, aren't we, John?
We kind of are. And, you know, when I was younger and I leaned more towards Republicans, even though they weren't really, they weren't as crazy as they are now. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I used to kind of think that was a good idea. Not so much no more.
No.
Well,
you know, clearly there is a lot of waste in certain aspects of government. It's in some cases maybe even unavoidable, and that could be done better. But on the other hand, when you're talking about corporate America, anywhere that you're not just inundated with corporate America in our culture, I mean, from TV to radio to everything else, I mean, you're just bombarded with commercials that are all lies and misstatements and exaggerations and insanity claims and all that stuff. And they wrap their fingers around the laws. They bend the legislatures to their own liking to create favorable laws for them. And you know who suffers? The regular working person and the poor. And you know, we've had enough of this stuff. This stuff about, we need to run the government like a business. No, we need business out of government is what we need. We've got too much of it in there.
Yes, we do. I kind of find it funny just because it seems that the mess we've been in since 07, it's kind of because we let the country be run like a business.
Exactly.
And we actually let capitalists fund the government pretty much. And
exactly.
We legislate to their, you know, their needs or whatever.
Oh, look at ALEC. It writes laws for legislators because they're too damn busy and stupid to do it themselves. I mean, it's unbelievable.
Yeah. It's
shame. They're too damn greedy, Jack.
Oh,
and
big time.
You know,
big
legislators time. Get wonderful paychecks. And the paycheck they get is designed to, and they're given packets, too. Lots of information that the government has standardly given them when they come new into the office, saying, here's your salary, and oh, by the way, here's several lists of interns from, political schools and poli-sci, schools all over the country and law schools where you can call people to hire to sit in your office and advise you and to look up the laws and to write
do your research for you, yeah.
Do all your research.
Well, some of that is needed, and I'm sure it's not abused by every congressperson, but there's so much of it. And not only that, then you've got lobbyists just throwing money at the situation, and that pollutes it.
Well, that's who's taken over the interns, are these lobbyists. They inundate themselves into congressional offices and say, let our team work for you and all of this kind of. And, John, when you say, we need more business, well, that's a business deal going down with a legislator. When those guys into your office and sit down and pull up a chair and say, let me help you out. We have the
solution. Yeah.
I mean, it's gold.
Now, John, that's a great point to bring up, and you mentioned that the Republican candidate in the Chicago mayoral race or governorship.
It's the Illinois governor, yeah.
Illinois governor, that's right. And that's his plank, huh?
Of course it is. It seems like that's
it's not a nasty.
You know, anytime you have a state that has a liberal governor and it's kind of broke, as Illinois is, you know, that's the big push. We need to, we need to bring,
I think that's how that horrible
cronyism.
Paul LePage got elected in Maine, you know?
Yeah.
Well, so there's a tussle going on, but, it seems to me that Chicago working people and Illinois working people, teachers and people working for the community, the usually unionized crowds of government employees and state and local, employees, first responders and the mail people, the folks that are working for the U.S. Postal Department, all these people are community contributors, and they have political concerns, and they're usually the ones you're going to find, or at least that's my experience. These are the folks that show up to political meetings and to listen to candidates and question them. They're there to question them. I mean, I myself went to the congressional meetings around here for Lois Frankel, and I questioned her. I questioned her pointedly. She actually told me that I didn't need to know information. I mean, how's that? But my point is that you get all of these people who are the ones who are generally the voters and the contributors to Democrat politics, usually. On the other side of that, you have the local business communities, the community chess, the what's that? I'm a business.
Chamber of Commerce?
Yeah, those assholes. Those crowds are the other side of the fence, and they usually are the what they call conservative or the Republican side of it. And
right,
they're
right.
The ones who are going to step up. And this is the polarizing back and forth blue-red bullshit that's been going on in this country for how long?
Mm-hmm.
And it's not working.
Right.
And the people in uniform and the people working in the schools, and that, they're getting hip to it. They are understanding. And they're looking for the truth. And they're finding it little by little if they have enough time to spend with social media. You know, one of the most, and I don't get it, how they don't really come around to hearing this information or seeking it out, because you take someone like one of the fellows, David Williams, or Al, I always screw his name up, say it, Jack. Oso's name.
Oso, we call him, yeah.
Yeah, or even several other, Sharif Hoyland, or any of
these
people who work in the community, have a job, hold a family down, are doing so much, and yet they contribute so much to bringing the information.
They're incredible individuals who need to be applauded big time all across the country
for the extra steps
they take to make this a better country and a better world.
Well, my point is, too, they are the example of what we need right now, John. We need people to wake up to their own responsibility for community and sustainability, because it's coming down to that. You know, look at Detroit.
Yeah.
Scary as hell. That's so scary. And people.
Well, this dictatorship that Snyder set up over there, I don't approve of that at all. That's completely ridiculous. Everybody answers to him. How utterly crazy in a so-called democracy. You don't have democracy in Michigan. You've got one-man rule.
Yeah. But Illinois is now set post for, and just as we are down here in Florida, but we've had this Hanyak Scott, in Tallahassee, and he's done nothing but screw things up. And I think that he's going to lose it. I think that Democrat is.
I hope so.
I actually think Charlie Crist is going to be reelected down here.
And you know, that wouldn't be a bad thing for Florida compared to what they've had the last few years.
It's business as usual. We're just fence hopping here. You know, when you talk, I really love my lefty anarchist buddies, because they're right. We have to make some kind of change. The only way I can see it happening is to keep providing the information, the truth about what's going on around us. And folks like activism and the activists who are out there saying nothing is changing, and here's your proof of it, and their topics are, like with Sharif Hoyland, is environmental justice. You know, a clean, healthy community is a right that all human beings have, and we're all responsible for. And so we realize that we are a part of nature, which, you know, the current standard in Western countries just disallows that we are a part of nature. We are above nature.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, that is the wrong idea. So many ideas, the paradigm shift has to happen. And about the only way that many of the really radically thinking and actually very clear thinking people are saying it's going to happen is with the collapse of an economy or collapse of the whole system.
It's too bad. You hate to see something like that happen because there will be so many innocent victims created. And, John, now you mentioned you've just started seeing these ads coming out for the Illinois governor's race. How long have they been out, and is it just the Republican ads you've been seeing, or what have you seen so far?
It was I saw it two nights ago on local TV. It was the first ad I saw. And unfortunately, I don't know, the Republican Party might have a very good chance of winning the governorship of the state. Because our Democratic governor, Quinn, he's going to lose a lot of votes with municipal workers because of the pension crisis going on.
Crisis? Oh, dear.
And it wouldn't be the first time we've had a Republican governor. I mean, even before Blagojevich, we had George Ryan, who he went to jail too.
Right.
You know?
Right.
But I don't know. It's going to be very interesting in the state because I'm waiting to see. I'm looking forward to seeing more GOP ads because, of course, our governor recently signed legislation to legalize same-sex marriage. So I'm waiting.
Oh,
to
that'll
know,
make him unpopular among
about
the religious right and all those groups. You know,
it's crazy.
Yeah, it is.
It's crazy how religion plays so much.
The first ad you saw was from kind of a business Republican, which tend to be less harmful than some of these crazy Tea Party guys.
Right. I mean, I don't know if he's going to – I don't know if he's a crazy religious nut, too. I haven't done any homework on it yet.
Yeah,
I
understand.
Mean, it's a year away.
Yeah, right.
But, yeah, they're already hitting the airwaves.
Mm-hmm. I wonder where his money's coming from.
Oh, who knows? Anywhere?
It's always good to follow the money
trail. We got some wealthy Republicans in the state.
Oh, yeah.
We got one that ran for governor against Quinn the last election, Oberweis. He owns like a big dairy complex in Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
You also have Hanley Dawson's family. That was my stepfather's brother. Yeah, bastard.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I grew up with those bastards around. Yeah.
Congratulations. Good for you, Gwen. Good times.
Well, I was always in trouble, honey. but let me ask you something, John. What are people's opinions of your mayor there in Chicago? What kind of power does he wield for the good or bad, they say?
Well, that's the funny thing when it comes to Illinois politics, is it's been said for decades that Chicago really runs the state. So it doesn't matter if we have a Republican governor or not. It's all on, and from what I understand, a lot of a lot of the down home farmer, you know, religious people in southern Illinois, they hate it because we pretty much control everything here.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, at least the politicians, not me.
Yeah,
I don't control anything. But the whole thing with guns and this and that and. Mm-hmm. But as far as the mayor, we hate him.
Yeah.
We hate him. But, I mean, there were people that didn't like him. I didn't like him. But people aren't going to vote for a Republican to be mayor of Chicago. And seldom does a Republican even run.
Same thing is true in Minneapolis. You just don't see Republican mayors anymore.
There's no chance of them winning in Chicago.
Yeah, same here, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, gentlemen, correct me if I'm wrong here, but Illinois has continued a long tradition of corruption in its politics, and people hoisted to the prison system from a high political office. I mean,
much so. And that's the running joke. And the running joke in Illinois is that other states' former governors go on to the lecture circuit. Ours go to prison.
Yeah.
Well, you know, there's some truth to that, and I shouldn't laugh because it is
there
pretty pathetic.
Is very much truth to it. Since the turn of the 20th century, we've had six governors go to prison.
Wow. That's
we had nine governors prosecuted, but three of them were acquitted.
Yeah.
But
we've
had six governors go to prison. Four liberal and two conservatives.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
That's really that is evidence of corruption. There's no doubt about it, and only a child would insist that that's not true. I mean, it's very sad, but it's been there for a long, long time. You know,
well, they
kind
call
of like
it the Chicago political machine, and it really is kind of a machine.
It is.
Now,
oh, yeah.
If you were to talk
yeah.
to my wife about it, who was kind of brought up around it,
mm-hmm.
like, she has a hard time really hating these people, like the whole Blagojevich mess, because she's under the assumption that, you know, these guys, they run for office, and in the betterment of their humankind, they want to do good. But they realized, mm-hmm. once they get elected, that they got elected because of this person, this group, and this
yeah.
group. And
you
now they're
pay
kind
them
of
off.
Stuck. Right. They're kind
yeah.
of stuck having to do the bidding of these people that
yeah.
got them into office in the first place.
Right. Good point. Well, you know, the only reason that political machines survive is because they do provide a certain amount of substance or sustenance for their population. And they meet what is barely needed to get by, and they do that very, very well, and they build their loyalties that way, and that's why they're so hard to uproot and get rid of.
Well, correct. But, yes, that's what we've had in Chicago and Illinois.
Wow.
For a long time. In fact,
yeah,
you know, before I was
too bad.
Born, when Daley's father was the mayor of Chicago, I heard rumors mm-hmm. at one point that it was like a running joke that the mayor of Chicago was more powerful than the president.
Oh, yeah.
And at the time, the president
was Kennedy.
Yeah, I heard
that rumor, too. Yeah.
Yeah.
I heard that, yeah.
Yeah, the political structure in this state, and especially the city of Chicago, is crazy.
Well, and that's,
yeah,
it's the same old, our guest tonight has actually been trying to call in, and she's getting a busy signal here, so... Keep
oh,
on
for heaven's
discussing,
sake.
Gentlemen. I'm going to try and call her in.
Patch her in? Okay.
Yeah.
Great. We look forward to hearing from Cherie. Yeah, John, you got your work cut out for you there in Illinois, it sounds like.
Yeah.
I hate
crazy.
To laugh, but my God, it's terrible to be in that predicament, isn't it?
Yeah, you have to laugh, Jack, or else you'd cry.
Yeah, exactly, man. Yeah, that's very true. I understand. Well, I wish you the best, and God only knows what's going to happen. I think we all know, but every once in a great, great, great while, something surprises us, and let's hope that in your case that's the case and that it's a good surprise.
Yeah, we'll find out.
Yeah, we'll find out in a hurry, I guess, sir, next year.
Are you planning a nice Thanksgiving this year? What are you grateful for, John? That's the question. What is your gratitude?
What am I grateful for?
Yeah.
Well, my daughter.
There
I'm
you
very
go.
Grateful for my daughter. She's made me a better man.
Great.
And believe it or not, I'm grateful for the internet.
There
oh,
you go. Global consciousness is like what I like to call it.
Yep.
Very,
very
grateful
good.
For the internet. I've been able to really broaden my political horizons.
Mm-hmm.
We're sorry.
Yeah.
Your call cannot be completed as dialed. If you feel you have reached this recording in error, please.
Jeez. Sorry, Jim. Okay. Let me try that again. Oh, God.
Maybe hit a wrong key or something.
Yeah, I actually...
We're bound determined to get Cherie Foytlin on tonight.
Well, I want to let her get her promotion on for... she has this Christmas, you know, project, and it's very
right.
worthwhile, so.
Yeah, let's get it out there.
So, just keep talking, guys. I'm just trying to do it here.
You're just struggling with it. Let's hope that this heals.
Boy, I tell you.
Hello?
Cherie.
Hello, Cherie.
Hey, goodness gracious, I couldn't get through.
It's good to hear your voice again. It's been so long.
Yeah.
This is Jack up here in Minneapolis, and we know where you are, and we're glad you're over the flu and doing well, and we're looking forward to
yes,
talking with you tonight.
Oh, thank you. I'm glad to be on the call. Glad I made it through.
Yeah, thank God.
So what's
great.
Blog Talk has had its issues, Cherie. We've been dealing with them. Sweetie, we've got like about 15 minutes left, so I really like to focus on the project that you were talking about with Christmas. And please, let us know what's going on in your neighborhood. What are you working on for the holidays?
Yeah, so what this is a platform that we put together last year across the Gulf Coast, and we called it a Bayou Christmas. And Elaine from Plenty International had come down originally, and they've been bringing gifts down for a while to areas in the deep southern part of Louisiana that are really struggling, continue to struggle with hurricanes and climate change and oil-related disasters, including BP. Mm-hmm. And so I said, well, you know, we were talking. I said, well, let's expand it, you know, and get some other parts of the Gulf in. So last year we were able to, through this existing organizations that are all along the Gulf Coast, we went to them and we said, you know, first of all, how many people would need help in your area that are going to fall through the cracks this holiday season? And then what would they need and how can we help? And we were able to provide food and toys to 400 families across the Gulf Coast. Well, this year's gone by. Oh, thank you. And this year's, but it was me. It was a group effort, you know. And and then this year, when it came by, I've done a lot more like outreach out into the national arena this year, and I've been to you know, frack sand mines and places mountaintop removal and all these issues. More, you know, when I was walking through there, I talked to the people that were there, but in these cases, I got to go and visit more. And then I would go to these like Power Shift and these other conferences and meet with these people. There was an extreme extraction summit not too long ago, and a lot of people from areas like ours were able to come together and talk about, you know, the future and how we could work together to provide support for each other. And so when this year rolled around, thinking about all those people that, you know, looking at these frontline communities that when we go into them, fenceline communities, which we define loosely as areas which are inundated with industrial pollution, usually minority, or very low income, one or other or both. And there's three things that they have in common, all of us, and that is just extreme poverty. Along the Gulf Coast, we have places where there's just ridiculous amounts of poverty and all the social ills that come along with that. There also is a lack of representation in local government, state government, provincial government up in Canada, and then on the federal government. And, boy, we know about that, don't we? And then and then there's always devastating health and ecological consequences from energy production or chemical production in the area of tar sands. You know, there's usually high rates of cancers, and then also health issues, respiratory issues, very similar to what we experienced when we were here with BP, but what we've also experienced over the last 50 years with, like, Cancer Alley here and refinery fenceline communities like Manchester, Houston. And so bringing those three things together and lifting up those voices in their own voice is important to me. You know, we don't want to ever speak for a community because they need to be speaking for themselves and protecting themselves. So what we wanted to do is lift those communities up and at the same time provide for holiday dinners and treats for the kids and things like
that. Nice.
So we put...
Is there a website people
front...
can go to, Cherie?
You can go to a
website
Frontline
that people
Holiday.
Can donate to?
Mm-hmm. You can go to a Frontline Holiday on Facebook. And there
frontline,
we have listing.
You say?
Yes, a Frontline Holiday.
A Frontline Holiday.
You can go. It has listings of people in it from their places, and they sent in the information. It's word for word what they had to say and why they felt like they needed help to get through the holiday season. And then I didn't change any of that. All I did was, like, add a comma maybe here or there. I mean, for the most part, it's just exactly what they sent us put up. And then doing this, like, we were able to uncover, like, there's a lot of, for instance, you know, I was looking at the data, just taking the data from, we have almost, I think we're looking at around between 15 and 20 groups now. And we have, most of them are in the Gulf Coast because that's the people we worked with last year. But we also have added the Rockaways in New York. We have in South Dakota there, it's the Pine Ridge Indian Reservation. We Mountaintop Removal, Coal Mountain Watch had put in a request. And so people can go there and they can directly choose which community they wish to support. And the, their address is on there, so it goes to, it doesn't go, it goes directly to those parties, to those organizations that are fighting to protect their community. And then they, the best part to me is they get to be the ones that go out and share these gifts. And in some cases they're having parties, and sometimes they're having arts and crafts for the kids, and the kids will come in and they won't know, but Santa will be there and he'll be able to give them presents. And in some cases, you know, and so it doesn't have to be a big deal. Just when you're out shopping, if you pick up a $25 gift card or so, then you can go online and see, and you know, which community you'd like to, and you send it directly to them, and then they get the opportunity to share that. Because not, I mean, in all over North America, there are groups of people that are trying to protect, you know, their area and the, their loved ones and, the, and their families.
Mm-hmm.
And they fight this fight, like, with everything they have, very often with very little resources, and do very amazing things, like, you know, when you look at it, the areas of health in particular and poverty. And then, you know, fighting the big fight against these big corporate polluters, which is overwhelming by itself. So a part of that is just picking up these groups and these communities and letting them know that we have their back, you know, that even if it's just for one day, we can't do it for the whole year, I wish we could, but at least for this one day or this one, you know, time, that they will have that support that they need. And it's resource sharing is what it is. And so I'm going back.
Well, we applaud you for that
week.
Great effort. That's awesome. And, again, that's a frontline.com or .org?
It's a frontline on a frontline holiday. Sorry, and it's on Facebook.
A frontline holiday.
You can go on Facebook. Yeah, you can go on Facebook and go straight to the page.
Posted the link in our chat, Sheree.
Great, that's great. I'll be happy. We have like around, we have over 3,000 families right now that need help.
Yeah, wow.
And this is very often, like, there was one case where. This was in Mississippi, and I think it was in, it was Moss Point, Mississippi, where this was a foster, they had a big foster home there. Well, when Katrina came through, it wiped the home off the map. And then when regulations and the insurance came back, the insurance for the place was so high that they couldn't build the foster home back again. And they're still trying to get the funds to do that. But what they've done is they have like 300 kids that are now scattered throughout, you know, Mississippi. And so they said every year the Salvation Army comes in and they help with those 300 kids. But they said every year at a certain point when the cutoff is, they end up with like 25 to 50 kids and families that are left over families that they just cannot get to. And so what they try to do is they try to come out of their own pocket to provide for those 50 families. Well, in this case, we'd be there to help to provide for those families. And kind of that's what I mean. So the people that fall between the cracks that they're trying to help, they don't have any other means of support. A lot of times, too, these people, like, they're working people. We're talking about working-class people that just don't make enough to support their families.
Yeah, they're not fighters. They're actually working people that are poor.
Yeah. Yeah, or
because of the rich corporations that are not underpaying them.
Exactly. And if you're sick because of, you know, you have benzene flying into the air every time the wind blows your way, it's hard to work.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's hard to get out. And it's also hard to think about having the resources to move, because I hear a lot of times people will say, well, why don't they move? Well, that's easier said than done if you don't have the resources or the place. And then a lot of times that they're living in a family home that's been paid for, you know, decades ago. And so this is your home.
Right.
This is your roof. Not that neighborhood.
And why should they have
to
uproot and incur extra expense of money they don't even have just to, they shouldn't have to do that.
Exactly. I asked the resident in Bayou Corn where they have a 25-acre and growing sinkhole now. And I asked them the other day, I said, well, who was here first? Like, I was taking video, and I said, well, who was here first, you or them, you know? And that, you know, he was telling me, he was like, my grandfather's grandfather was on this property, you know, then the company came in, you know, and that, he was
How
in,
tragic.
He was in the area next door where they had the big gas leak, and then he moved to Bayou Corn, and now he's leaving Bayou Corn, too. So they've moved in completely off his, you know, grandfather's grandfather's property.
Wow.
It's amazing story. And that's the thing is, like, once, you know, you get in there and you start talking to these people, it's just all these amazing stories that are tragic and courageous and strong all at the same time, you know. And it's like one of those old movies where they're fighting. You ever see those old cowboy movies where they're fighting the railroad coming through? Well, it's the exact same thing. like the big David and Goliath kind of story, but the corporate media doesn't pick up on these stories, and they're not going to, and put them out there.
Not.
So part of our job is to continuously get those stories out there and into the light.
Well, we applaud your efforts, Sherry. Sure. Sherry, you've been at it for so long, and we admire you so greatly for the wonderful work you're doing and the unselfishness of your task. I mean, you gobble up a lot of your time working on these beautiful projects, and we think everybody should applaud you big time, and they should contribute and do what they can as well.
Sherry.
Yes, please.
Sherry, anytime that you wish to bring something to the light, as much as we can provide a space for you to do it, tell these stories, just bring it on to the Sunday show with us, or even call in to Pinko the Bear up late at night with Pinko the Bear on Tuesday evenings late. I mean, We do have a voice here. We're willing to lend it to you whenever you need it. I hope you know.
By all means.
Let's do that. Let's do that. Then we have, like, I don't know how many weeks. My brain's in Thanksgiving right now, but we have so many weeks until. Let's get some of the people that are participating in this and see if we can't get them to come and be on the show. Would that be okay? That'd be cool.
That would be
awesome.
Beautiful.
Let's do it.
That would be beautiful.
Yeah.
We'll get it.
That'd be great.
We'll get it put together, and if I've got any free days here, I'm willing to give you the time on the radio to bring more of them on. I think I have open Saturdays right now, so if you've got the time and you want to bring those stories to light, we can get them on Saturdays too.
I think that would be awesome. I think they would really appreciate that, but that's kind of part of what we wanted to do with this initiative is to lift their voice up in their own voice, let them have that platform and that opportunity
to
tell their story.
We want it to grow into something mammoth, just huge.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. So it's
good. God bless you
for your
ongoing effort.
Yeah, thank you. It's not, you know, the good news is it's not just me. I turn around there's so many groups that are willing to help out and sponsor in some way, like Gulf Coast Fund and Bridge the Gulf and Energy Action Coalition, and put it out on their social media, and we're hoping Texas Tar Sands Blockade has put it on their social media, and we're hoping that other bigger groups will pick it up, and GRN, Gulf Restoration Networks, talking about sponsoring some families themselves, and that I encourage anyone to, you know, get a school group together, get a community group together, and just sponsor one family, or just sponsor one
great
group, or even
project.
Just having up one community. Yeah, it'll be great, and really lift them up, and you can connect. And I encourage everyone when they send these, if they send a package or if they send a gift card, to write a little thing, so write something, a little note of encouragement on there, because you don't realize. I remember in the heat of the Gulf, the BP disaster, I remember I'd get these letters every once in a while, and they were just so encouraging and so just, you know, keep at it, and, you know, we care, we're watching, and all that stuff really steals you for the storms that you have to face and all this, and those many times that you're down on the bottom. You know, it's really important that we encourage these people and tell them, let them know that there are people miles and miles away that are caring and thinking about them. That's very uplifting.
Yeah, it's perfect. Sherry, that's perfect. That's the right thing to do. Yes, ma'am.
So it's good. Hopefully we'll be able to, you know, get all the kids in and all the families, and it'll spread. And hopefully even next year maybe we'll get more. I don't know. But I'm pleased. I'll be pleased if we can get everybody, you know, that's trying to fit under this umbrella right now. I'd be pleased if we get that. We even have Plaquemines Parish. I talked with Kendra Arneson the other day, and she was talking about, you know, that she has, like, about 25 families down there that are in need of help. So she's going to be putting one up, and it's just good. It's good stuff.
Well, we'll get together and we will do some coordinating and get this on Sundays prior to Christmas here, and some Saturdays too, if we can get that done.
That sounds great. Sounds really good.
Yeah. Well, you've given us some inspiration for the Christmas season, Sherry. Thank you very much for that.
We are
thank you.
So I want to thank you. We're running late here. We've got 20 seconds, so I want to thank Sherry Boylan. And it's a Frontline Holiday over on Facebook. Go and find it, folks. Go and find it.
Check it out.
Thank you, John. Thank you, Sherry. Thank you, Jack.
You bet. Thank you, Gwen. Keep thinking forward.
Thanks, everybody. Have a great night.
You too. Sherry, thanks for
you too. Have a happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Thank you, John. Everybody, happy Thanksgiving from John. And that's a frontline holiday over at Facebook. Please, it's important. Okay, that's our show tonight, and we'll be back Sunday again, and hopefully we'll have Cherie with us. And maybe we'll get some stories out here for you to listen to. It's important stuff. So thank you.
Yep, keep thinking forward, everybody. Talk to you next week.
Okay, guys, that's the end. We're off the air, and I'm going to cut her down. I'm going to cut her down now.
Thanks, Gwen. Talk to you later.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Good night, Cherie. Good night, John. Good night, Jack.
Good night.